realfaith.org.au.
All I ever wanted was to be loved and cherished. And if I wasn't hit, beaten, or abused in any way, in my distorted mind, I thought I wasn't being loved. So if you didn't hit me, you didn't beat me, you didn't abuse me, I wasn't loved. It's very sad, because there are so many people in this world that feel the same way.
This is a warning for parents that due to the adult themes being discussed in today's program, it is not recommended for young listeners. Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
Carol Ann Kelleher's life began on the devastated post-World War II streets of London, when Londoners still shook with fear at every loud noise. In fact, the government of the day encouraged Londoners to take up cigarettes and alcohol in order to self-medicate. It was into this environment that Carol Ann was born, the result of a failed abortion, something that her mother reminded her of daily. Sadly, she was also regularly abused by her father. Carol Ann has written about her experiences in her book, The King's Daughter, which tells the story of the healing power of forgiveness in her life. Carol Ann Kelleher, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us, and let's go back to the atmosphere in London when you were born.
Well, obviously I don't remember the day I was born, but still at age 3 and up to age 10, I can remember the air raid shelters, I can remember the bomb sites, and I remember that we had all this ration coupons to get food, and we couldn't always get enough food. But my parents used to trade the food coupons for cigarettes.
Okay, and we heard that at that time, the government kind of wanted the population to self-medicate and smoke and drink, is that right?
Yes, that's what my mother told me, that she was told to take cigarettes to calm their nerves, and the men were to drink beer as well to calm their nerves.
Wow, that's quite a different atmosphere at that time. And you were born in 1945, so in your toddler years, this was right after World War II.
Yes. The war had just finished, or just finishing, but people were still very, very concerned that the bombs might start going off again. And I can remember the air raid shelters that we used to run into at the slightest noise.
Mm-hmm. And sadly, your mother said that you were the result of a failed abortion.
Yes, my mother didn't want me. She told me many times she never wanted me.
Mm.
And she even gave me instructions on how she tried to get rid of me on more than one occasion. But God had his hand on me, you know. He never let my mother abort me.
Mm-hmm. Would she just say this in anger whenever she was mad at you? I mean, it just sounds so sadistic.
My mother never loved me. She always favored my brother, my oldest brother. And then 8 years later, I had another brother, and she favored him. Both my parents favored the boys, and I was just not wanted.
Mm.
And the anger would show. Everything I did was never right, never wrong. She always would say, "Why can't you be like your brothers?"
Hmm. And so this was from your mother, and then from your father it was even worse.
Well, my father said he loved me, and because he loved me, these are the things fathers do to their daughters. And I had to believe him because he was my father. And when it started, I was only 3 years old.
Wow.
Even though at 3, I remember, I didn't like it.
So in his kind of dysfunctional, twisted mind, he was trying to convince you that his abuse of you, we're talking about sexual abuse, was somehow what he was supposed to do.
Yes, and that was love. That's what he told me. That was love.
Needless to say, you grew up very confused about what love was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in your heart and in your mind, somehow you know this is not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're told by your father, who you have to believe, because I would never cross him because of he did physical abuse if you crossed him. I had to believe him.
So this was your childhood.
Really, I didn't have a childhood.
Yeah.
I went from 3 years old to a woman. Unfortunately, it wasn't just me. I had friends come to stay to play with me one Saturday. And after my father had abused them as well, they never came back again. They were at the same school as I was. They never spoke to me ever again. So I was rejected, even at the age of 7.
And then, when you were 18 years old, finally, you got the courage to say no.
Yes, I did get the courage to say no, but I just want to tell you something about when I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday, the nuns would take us to a church service. The church was on the same property as the school. And they used to talk about God, never about Jesus, but God and all the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kneeling on the wooden floor next to the nun, and I said in my heart, and I looked up to heaven, and I said, or I looked up to the sky, which I thought was heaven, and I said, if there really is a God, make me faint. Well, I fainted. I'd never fainted before, and I've never fainted since.
Hmm.
And I fainted, and when I came to, I was on the steps of the church with the nun saying to me, only girls with sin in their heart faint in church.
Oh, wow.
Well, I tell you now, I carried that with me for many, many years. I thought everything that was bad was my fault.
Hmm.
Everything that was horrible was my fault. And I was a very bad girl.
Well, let's kind of unpack this a little bit. To begin with, why do you think you wanted to say that prayer?
I don't know. It just came to my heart. Well, I know that I used to try and run away from my father. And there was something, because I went to a Catholic school,
mm-hmm.
so there was something in me that wanted to know if there really was a God.
And so you thought you'd kind of put him to the test?
I did put him to the test, and it came through.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, the nun said some very troubling words to kind of give you a guilt trip.
Yes. And I was bad for many, many, many years. In fact, I felt that everything that happened to me till I was about 42 was my fault. It was me. It was I caused these men to abuse me. I caused my father to abuse me. I caused my mother to hurt me. It was my fault.
I have no idea why somebody would say that to a young girl about fainting in church. You'd think they would be comforting you and saying, are you okay?
But you know what? You believe the nuns, because you believe the nuns are closer to goodness than anything else. You believe them. But, you know, you've got to believe God rather than the nuns.
Amen. So the pattern I'm hearing here is people who should have been giving you good examples and good advice were repeatedly telling you terrible advice and making you have a self-image that was completely incorrect.
That's right, yeah.
So that was your childhood, kind of in a nutshell.
That's really, yes, exactly it.
Okay, and then let's get to when you were 18 years old and you finally got the courage to say no.
I said no, and I pushed my father away, and that's when he just beat me up and broke my cheekbones, my nose, and blacked my eyes. And I remember coming to on the floor in a pool of blood. Somehow I got out to the front, and a neighbor called an ambulance, and I was in the hospital, and the police came and asked me what happened, and I told them, and they said, we don't get involved in domestic issues, and left it at that.
Many things have changed since those days, fortunately.
In those days, they didn't know what to do or how to do it, and a parent could do what they liked to a child, and that was it. Didn't matter. They didn't get involved. But, you know, I even went to the priest when I was 8, and I told the priest what was happening with my father, and he told me to go home, stop making trouble for your family, and be a good girl.
So once again, people in authority, people who should have known better, were letting you down left, right, and center.
Yeah. Absolutely. Nobody was there to help me, nobody, except God. He was there all the time, but I didn't really know that. I knew there was a God, but I thought I was so bad, he would never like me.
And then, after you were beaten by your father, you were on the streets, or what happened to you?
Well, after leaving the hospital after a couple of weeks, I just walked the streets for a while. I slept in a railway station, which in those days, I slept at King's Cross railway station a couple of times. And I tried to stay with people that I knew. I went to my grandmother, and she said, no, I couldn't stay with her. I went to an aunt, said, no, I couldn't stay with her. So I went to a young man who I knew, and I knew he liked me, but I didn't particularly like him. And eventually I married him. He took me in, his parents took me in, and I married him. But I married the wrong person, obviously. I married the same person that my father was, an abuser.
Our guest today is Carol Ann Kelleher, who is the author of the book, The King's Daughter, and she's joining us via the telephone from her home in Perth, Western Australia. We'll hear more of Carol Ann's story when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. And you can listen to past programs about the impact faith has had on others. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today our guest is Carol Ann Kelleher, who's the author of the book, The King's Daughter. Unfortunately, as we've been hearing, she was abused by her father growing up, and finally, at the age of 18, she had the courage to say no and got away from him. Unfortunately, she met a man and married him who turned out to be just like her father. Now we're going to find out what happened next in Carol Ann's life.
It's, you know, I often relate my life to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, mm-hmm. who went from man to man to man, and people just called her a prostitute. But we don't know what she was going through. Mm-hmm. We don't know what hurt she was at. We don't know if she was kicked out of the home that she was living in. We don't know if she ran away because of abuse. We don't know these things. Mm-hmm. We should never judge anybody. We should never judge, because we just don't know what story or what life they're living through, what trauma they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a
and
very good point.
Unfortunately, even Christians these days judge.
Mm, yeah, you don't know what's been going on in a person's life, especially yeah. like you've been sharing in your story. So you're with yeah. this angry and violent husband who's much like your father. Then what happened?
I don't know how I got away. I was there for 13 years, and one day I just ran away with my two children. And, yeah, and I didn't really look back, but I kept having relationships with abusive men. Mm. Believe it or not, I kept having the same relationships with abusive men.
Help us to understand what is going on in your mind. Why do you think you kept on going back to men that were abusive?
All the time, all the time. All I ever wanted was to be loved and cherished. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't hit, beaten, or abused in any way, in my distorted mind, mm-hmm. I thought I wasn't being loved. So if you didn't hit me, you didn't beat me, you didn't abuse me, I wasn't loved.
Hmm.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it's very common,
there
unfortunately.
There are so many people in this world that feel the same way mm-hmm. at this moment.
Yeah. So that, based on your upbringing and the confusion from both of your parents, that's how you felt. That's how you felt that you're
yeah.
being loved.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of self-loathing going on?
Yes. The shame, the guilt, and the feeling that everything is your fault, and no matter what you do, you make it bad. You cannot stop making bad things and bad choices. That's how you feel. But most of all was the shame and the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to try and cover it up, and I didn't know how to get rid of it.
And what about God? You knew that God answered your prayer as a child.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about
him? I knew there was a God, but I couldn't find him.
Hmm.
You know, I went in my 20s and 30s, I went from church to church to church looking for Jesus, looking for this God that I know that helped me at that one time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that there was a God, but, you know, I couldn't find him. And this lady who I met, beautiful lady, she said to me, "But God's in your heart." And I was absolutely amazed. I thought, "It's in my heart? Then he knows me. He knows my shame. He knows my guilt. He knows all about me. And if it's in my heart, he must love me."
Mm.
And so things got better from then on. And I started to seek him. And I went to a church and somebody gave me a Bible. And I never opened the Bible. I just kept it for a couple of weeks. I didn't really know how to read it in some ways. But God spoke to me. I heard this voice, and it said to me, "I have taken you out of the mud and the mire and the clay, and I've stood you on a solid rock." And, you know, I couldn't quite understand what that meant. But, you know, when I did open the Bible, I opened it at, what was it, Psalm 40. And it says, "I have taken you out of the pit, stood you on the rock. I've taken you out in the mud and the mire and the clay." And then I knew for certain there was a God in my heart.
Hmm.
And from then on, I just sought him and sought him and sought him and asked for forgiveness and asked for healing. And it took many years, I'll tell you, many years to be healed.
And at what point did you and your children move to Australia from London?
When my first child was 2, and my second child was 1. Then I moved from Australia. I was 25 then. And that's when I ran away from my parents. But believe it or not, they followed me to Australia.
Is that right?
And I was age 40, and my father came to visit, and I hadn't seen them for 10 years. And they came to visit, and my father tried to abuse me again.
Oh, my goodness.
And this time, I knew there was God, and I said to him, "Get out! Get out! Don't you dare touch me! Never come near me again!" I was so angry.
Mm.
And that's when he stopped.
Mm.
He never tried it again. But I was 40, and he had tried it again.
So, understandably, you're filled with bitterness, anger, unforgiveness.
Yes. I hated men, but I couldn't live without a man.
Mm.
Isn't that terrible?
Mm.
I hated men, but I couldn't live without one. Because all I wanted to be was loved and cherished. But I was never, I have never been loved and cherished by any man on this earth. Never. But God loves and cherishes me. He made up for all the hurt that I have felt in my life.
And so you put your faith in Jesus Christ?
Yep. My faith was in Jesus Christ. It is now and it always will be. You know, he took me from all this mud and the mire and the clay. I ended up working for the government for 20 years here in Australia. And then I got a redundancy from the government and went to Bible college. I was the chaplain at Royal Perth Hospital for a year. And then I was invited to be a pastor in Toowoomba in Queensland. And I was there for 2 years. And then I came back to Western Australia when my eldest son was diagnosed with cancer. And I came back and I still was visiting hospitals and retirement villages and helping people on their deathbed to die. Because I haven't told you that on my father's deathbed, he said to me, this was his exact words, "Carol Ann, I have always looked at you as another woman, but now I look at you as a daughter. Can you forgive me?" And I said, "Yes, I can easily forgive you because Jesus forgave me." And then he died.
Wow. Many, many abuse survivors don't have that closure.
No, no. And then 2 or 3 years ago, my mother died at 97. And before she died, she told me she was sorry. And I forgave her.
Hmm.
So God's good. There was closure.
Yeah.
And that's how I've been able to write my book. You know, many people will still point the finger. Many people will still say, "Wow, what a terrible woman she is." But try walking in my shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Try walking in my shoes. And I tell you what, if if life was more important, because you have this instinct in you just to keep alive. And some of the mistakes I made, some of the bad choices I made, was just to stay alive. And to give my children a home. They never had to go through any of that. Love my children. My children have been married for many, many years and have children of their own. They've never gone through a divorce. They've never gone through a separation. They've never gone through any of that. I protected them. I gave them the love that Jesus gave me. And they're well-adjusted children. Well, not children. They're in their 50s.
So you always
in my 70s.
So you always wanted to be cherished and loved, and you finally found that through your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And then through forgiving your earthly father and mother, you were able to kind of unburden yourself from all the bitterness that you had been carrying.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the hardest thing, was forgiving other people, forgiving my parents and forgiving men that have abused me. That was the easy part, really.
Is that right?
But forgiving myself was very, very hard. To forgive myself was actually having to face my shame and my guilt. And by writing this book, I've been able to do that. To show other people, hopefully other women or men that may be going through this or have been through it, that you can leave your shame behind. You can face it, leave it behind, and go forward to the future that God has for you, the beautiful future that he has for you. He's got such a future for each and every one of us, even me, and I'm nearly 74, but even me, he's still got a future for me.
That's
he's
right.
He's still got things he wants me to do.
And you're doing so many wonderful things. Let's see, let's just go through, like you mentioned, you went to Bible school, you got a degree in ministry, you became a justice of the peace. You've been involved in prison ministry. You're a pastor. God has just been using you in amazing ways.
Yeah. He even gave me the opportunity to be a visiting justice to go to prisons and judge prisoners in the prisons. I tell you what, no, I cannot imagine that God would do such a wonderful thing to clear my name and give me such a pastor's heart and to teach me to help other people. God is so good, so strong and so mighty. And I'm a CEO of a childcare center, and I still run the childcare center, and I teach the children about God, even though many of them are not Christians or their parents are not Christians. I teach these little children that Jesus loves them. Oh, God is so good. He's given me such a beautiful life.
And the name of your book is called The King's Daughter, and that has two meanings. Please share with us the two meanings.
Yes. Just lately, I've been on a rather nice trip. And one of the countries I went to was Ireland in the UK. And I knew that my ancestry came from Ireland. And so I went to all these different places and found where my ancestry came from. It's from a king in Ireland called Brian Boru. And Brian Boru's sister married a Kelleher. And so I am related to the king of Ireland from the 10th century. I found the castle he lived in.
Oh, wow.
And the places that he fought in at the battles. And he was one of these men that protected the Irish people from invasions of other countries. And so I am not only a royal princess from the King of Kings and the Great I Am, but I'm also related royalty to the Kings of Ireland.
Well, how ironic. You were told in your childhood you were nothing, you were abused, and to find out that you're a double king's daughter.
Isn't he good? Not only did I have to go through all that shame and that hurt, but he brought me out on top. That's what God can do. Bring you out through it and give you a soft heart, because I had a hard heart. I had a stone heart. But now I have a soft heart. And God is so good.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
That's my pleasure. I hope one day that somebody will be able to hear this story and be able to go forward into the future that God has for them. I have written a little poem. It's only a short one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you allow me to read it, please?
Yes, let's please.
Forget who hurt you yesterday, but don't forget those who love you today. Forget the past that makes you cry, and focus on the present that makes you smile. Forget the pain of yesterday, but remember the lessons you gained. Forget what's gone and close the doors and run the race, for the future is yours. Never look back, leave the hurt behind. Bring joy into your life and peace of mind. Then the future will be bright and the sadness gone, with love and forgiveness to be reborn. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that poem and your story with us today.
That's my pleasure. God bless you.
God bless. Our guest today has been Carol Ann Kelleher. She joined us via the telephone from her home in Perth in WA. The name of her book is called The King's Daughter. To find out more information about that book, you can go to her website, carolannkelleher.com. That's carolannkelleher.com.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.